Ready? 2023, where the Planning Commission meeting for Bonnie Lake to come to order. Have a roll call, please.
Chair Soli.
Here.
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 Commissioner Hubler.
Here. Here.
Planning and Building Supervisor Sullivan.
Time we take a. Approval. Chair will entertain a. September 13th meeting. Moved.
Second.
Seconded. Comments and concerns?
And just for the record keeping, Commissioner Hubler has joined us at 6:02. All right, so new and continuing business, we have tonight, we have an update on the Parks, Trails, and Open Space Plan. We are bringing forward the conceptual designs based on the outreach we've done with both city staff, the public, the Planning Commission. And so we're going to walk you kind of through the background of what we've done over the last year and then present the kind of the most latest versions of what we're envisioning for all the parks based on all of the competing feedback we've gotten for the limited space we have. It sounds like a lot of space, but there's also a lot of wants. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Scott Melbourne with MXM Architects. I'm going to load up his PowerPoint presentation and he will walk you through that presentation. Hey, Kennedy. I'll load up that PowerPoint right now.
Okay, great.
Just tell me when you go to the next slide.
Okay, perfect. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you again. And thank you for inviting me here tonight to share with you essentially updates on where we're at on capturing feedback from the public of what their dreams and hopes are for their public parks and how we're starting to translate those into some conceptual designs for potential future implementation and improvements. So I'm going to go ahead next. So just briefly, I won't dwell on the overview of the larger kind of projects much, but just help set a reminder of a frame of reference for where these conceptual designs are fitting into, share with you just a little bit about what we've heard so far, and then walk through the concepts for the four parks that are in our court at this point. And Jason introduced me, but I should maybe just say again, yeah, so my name is Scott Melbourne with MXM Landscape Architecture. Okay. So as you're well aware, especially with this committee, the PTRO plan is a chance to think in longer terms about what the future can be for guiding investments and improving the park and recreation system for the city, especially doing that in such a way that there's an eye towards opportunities for pursuing grants and other funding that can be matched up with those interests that we've heard from the public. Let's go ahead. Next, Jason. Just a reminder of the timeline of this effort. So as Jason said earlier, I'm really from the very beginning of things. It's been, we're coming up on close to a year, and we're in that final key phase of things where we're starting to wrap up our documentation of what's been heard and formalize the recommendations that are put forward to you all. Let's go ahead, next. So we know that this work has been done in a way that can build off the tremendous resources that are here for the city of Bonnie Lake and for your community. And that's something that's really come through with the feedback that's been received so far, that folks love their public spaces, they love their trails. They also are just over time increasing their expectations of what can be offered in those spaces. Next. And so that all is then interwoven with the actual programming of the activities and recreation in particular that's put on offer. And you'll be seeing some ideas on how particular facilities might be upgraded. So let's go ahead for next. So this is, there's been really, I think, a really significant amount of public outreach. And you all, I've seen most of you multiple times over this last year at some of these various events. Everything from the survey that went out to the whole sequence of tabling events over the summer, which is fantastic to be able to kind of graft into those activities that you all already are hosting, and indeed activities like the open house that took place just about 2 weeks ago. Next. Go to the next. Just really briefly, big picture, some of those highlights for what's been received in the survey. You see that there's, you know, in total, a pretty lengthy list of, you know, possibilities how these public spaces might be getting used. And while there's in some ways competition, you know, not everything got the same ranking, what I take away from it is that there's general support for all of it. That people are just asking for more. And so in a way that I think sets up a good challenge for us to really try to maximize the potential of the parks. And in particular, take advantage of the fact that we're looking at multiple parks all at the same time. Next. So in the end, there's some core themes that kind of rise to the surface. You know, first is kind of general category of making sure that you take care of what you have. Some of that could be renovating, upgrading existing parks, keeping an eye towards ADA compliance, and I know that you all have plans and strategies for that. Also, continue to build the system, know that there's development that can happen on some existing park sites that are essentially undeveloped currently, and then expand the recreational opportunities and the specific activities supported within those spaces. All right, so now we get to what for me is the fun stuff. So we'll look at four parks. We'll start with the big one, with Allen York Park. And the way that this is structured is we have a slide or so that is kind of reflecting back a distillation of the feedback that we received through all these different kind of efforts, especially the tabling efforts. And then we'll look at some drawings for the concept design. So with Allen York Park, you know, you might remember that I was here meeting with this committee earlier in the year to talk through what are these kind of potential basic strategies. And it was so exciting to hear that there was support for pursuing at least the option of rerouting, you know, Lake Taps Highway and actually opening up the core of this park to the waterfront in a way that's not been possible. That is very much, I think, compatible with the feedback we heard from the public of wanting increased access to that lakefront. In the tabling efforts from earlier in the summer that I know many of you were participating in, I think that you heard general support for that. There are, you know, valid questions and concerns about some of the details, the particular routing, you know, stop sign versus roundabout, these kinds of things. But in general, it really sounded like there's a lot of support for that. When it came to hear more about the particular activities being supported, you see there, we heard a lot about water play. We heard a lot of interest in there being a spray park put on offer here. And our way of thinking of that is yet another way of kind of offering a pressure release valve for the lakefront so that there can be a form of water play that's not demanding use of the lake directly. Also, especially helpful for other age groups of children and the like. You know, we had an image of movies in the park, and I think that was just very evocative. But I think that also builds off of the sense of community that folks have for special events here at Allen York Park. And related to that, seeing how a covered performance stage could help formalize and really facilitate that concert series and other kind of activities in a way that carries things forward into the future. So go to the next slide. So we've taken that feedback and started to translate it into a design proposal that you see there on the left. It's already gone through a few iterations, and at this stage, I'd like to say that it's still malleable. You know, we're still here to collect feedback. We just last week met with city staff and received some really valuable feedback in on many of these parks that have been very quickly pumped back into the design to share with you today. And so more of that can be happening. If we zoom in a little bit and go next, Jason. So here at the core of the site, we see a couple key features. So knowing what you all know about the idea of that potential opening up with the rerouting of Lake Taps Highway, you see that rerouting and coming off to the southeast corner of the lower right portion of that image, and you see the road essentially hugging something close to the existing tree line, and seeing that as a natural kind of position to maintain that forest canopy, but then also open up so much space within the enlarged park space. Then we have a real mix of activities. That lakefront, we'll see what we call a section drawing in a moment to visualize this. But you see that we have all the space to work with of having, you know, what in our involved is, you know, half dozen different things that would all love to be right on the waterfront. But we're clustering them, but hopefully not crowding them in. So everything from sheltered picnic areas to playground spaces to a spray park, a new concession restrooms and storage structure. And then you see there at the waterfront, actually the a beach. And so the thought here is, and this is something that came directly from staff, was thinking that with this configuration, the fact that we no longer having to have kind of flat, dry land so quickly from the shoreline edge, because the road's been moved, that actually that could be a shallower, more shallow gradient of a beachfront that that is accessible. It could even be ADA accessible for people to have a different way of interacting with the lake, so much different than what they experience now. Moving to the left a bit, you see there the outdoor concert area with a covered stage. We went through, frankly, a few iterations of how and where to position this. And I'd say that in the previous iteration, in fact, if you look at the Public Works offices, those printed boards from the open house, we're still showing this closer to the water. But something that came through in conversations with staff is that, you know, there are thousands of people who are coming out for these events. And if it's an even improved space and even better parking and even better circulation, it might be even more. And so this is a response to saying, okay, what if we just go ahead and really devote that space the way it would seem it wants to be devoted to those uses? And of course, there's a lot of flexibility just in that turf area for other kind of events, as you all know. Working our way upper left, northwest from there, you see ball field 4. We're showing that as a improved multi-sport turf field in line with the recently constructed multi-sport turf field that you all have built this to the southeast of here. Seeing that as a fantastic way of really dramatically improving the amount of use that can come out of these spaces, and also essentially freeing up space for more passive activities. Parking is improved there at the core of the image that you see, and then to the west, you see that these parcels that are now being pulled into the official Al York plan, that's where there's a larger area of parking that's devoted. The existing maintenance yard is kept in place, and the thinking is that the trailer parking would happen up there as well. Last but not least for this image, that trailer parking, which is in the whole highways, was, we can thank the challenges of that and that congestion as being a real spur to push us all forward on this plan. That's being drawn out as the existing paving essentially being used, devoted as the trailer queue or line that would then directly head into the new boat launches straight ahead. Yeah.
One of my concerns has always been on this outing in the West Tops Highway is the amount of traffic on that road, especially coming south evening and going north in the morning.
Yeah.
That where it's the boat launch, it basically comes down to a 90-degree turn. Is that going to be, what is that conceptualized as a stop sign?
It's a three-way stop. Because the you'd have the Bonnie Lake Boulevard's leg, you'd have the West Taps leg, and then the new third leg, kind of creating a T this way, would be the exit for the boat launch.
I don't know, the amount of traffic there in the afternoon.
We're trying to discourage that by building it with a three-way stop and a roundabout and a slower curve. I mean, one of the complaints we've heard a lot of times is from both the residents along West Taps Highway is the amount of cut-through traffic and the speeds. So one of the intents of the design was to decrease not just the speed, but the appetite for using West Taps as a cut-through for regional traffic.
Where is that traffic going to go?
To the other county roads outside. There's another road that loops around the north side. There's 214. There's other road systems. We're trying to push it away from the park and the residences there along West Taps Highway.
I know. I sit there and watch them all day long.
Boat after the time.
What happens on those roundabouts is the traffic starts flowing, and anybody trying to go in an option.
I have concerns about it.
So if you're coming from West Taps Highway on the north, coming south, you would circle around the outside of the roundabout, go down the new West Taps Highway, go over the raised intersection, tabletop intersection, and then get back into the regular road. It is intentionally designed to slow traffic down and discourage cut-through traffic, which is something that we've heard over and over as a complaint along that West Taps Boulevard of that this is not a regional road. This is a neighborhood road that feeds a park. And so it was intentionally designed to discourage people from using it in such a way.
Yeah, and of course, it's an absolutely fair question. And, you know, I'm really pleased that the city's brought on a traffic engineer who's working through these alignments, and I'm sure we'll be running some calculations. That's outside of my expertise. But I would say that from kind of a more park life and design perspective, you know, my hope is that the traffic will flow smoothly and, of course, safely while not worrying about it flowing quickly.
Yeah, we've engaged Shekhar Jewell to perform both a kind of a traffic analysis of the design and also kind of looking at the safety factors and how each the kind of the configuration compares to the new configuration and also kind of how it works with level of service. And there, the design you're seeing for the roundabout and the West Taps is actually the engineer's design that was then fed back to the landscape architects to make sure that this works on engineering, traffic engineering principles. And there's a whole big, long traffic analysis that they have prepared that we're reviewing right now that walks through both the traffic counts, the pedestrian counts, safety counts, crash history, roundabouts are immense traffic calming and also safety issues. They really slow traffic down. And then also if you do have crashes, they're more glancing blow crashes versus T-bone or rear end crashes. So years of data say that roundabouts are probably the safest thing you can do to really slow traffic and do it in an efficient way. And that's why we had the traffic. That's why we did engage a traffic consultant. And I can say Scott emailed me when we got the traffic on board. He's like, man, that got big. We did look at it, and they are making sure that the fire charts and also boat traffic with boat trailers can flow around it as well.
One of the things I've seen with some roundabouts is the big trucks, like the 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
They just go straight through.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you look at the roundabout, you see these ruts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Every single day.
And that's more of a traffic circle than a roundabout.
Yeah. So I'm just surprised school buses can get around that, because sometimes I feel it's tight on my SUV. So I feel like if they can get around that, they can get around this.
And one thing, sorry, I'm not trying to Scott's presentation. The area that's currently the parking lot for Allen York Park that's going to be repurposed as the boat launch drive aisles will still be available for parking during events when we close the boat launch. It won't be able to be open for parking when we're operating the boat launch because of the way it's set up, but when we do like tunes at taps or buying leg days and we shut the boat launch down, that area can then be repurposed as a parking lot, adding additional parking to the park for those larger events. And then once the event is over, it opens back up to boat traffic only.
We do that now?
Yes, currently anytime there's a Body Lake Days, Tunes at Taps, the boat launch is shut down for those nights.
All right, great. Well, maybe all good stuff there, and really fundamental for making sure we get the bones of this in a way that will work. Maybe let's go to the next slide, Jason. So here, this is just a way that we can, on our side especially, think through the before and after, so we're, having this imaginary slice through the landscape. In the above image, we see how that existing configuration of the roadway, of course, is giving us just this really small, fragment of beachfront to the right of that upper image. Whereas with the road really out of the picture in the lower image, we have all the space to shift around the different features that folks are looking for and provide safe pedestrian access all the way into the site. Let's go to the next image, slide.
All right.
No problem. So that's a somewhat, I guess, brief set of thoughts on Allen York Park, and we can talk in more detail about some of those other elements, now shifting our focus to Midtown Park. So, Midtown Park for us has been a really exciting space to focus on because, as the site stands right now, in a way it has so much potential because it's relatively large size and because all of those mature trees that are in place. But it's not an instant match to see what its future recreational kind of uses would be as a park space. In the end, we heard really clear feedback on this. Folks wanted this to be a space that would have a critical mass of activities where things like playgrounds and restrooms and pickleball courts and more would all come together in such a way that there would always be a relatively high number of users there, where it would feel like a safer place than it is now. It would be really transformed, I think. And so what you see in the plan is our attempt to essentially accommodate as many of those uses as possible while also maximizing the potential of the site. So of course there's existing stormwater ponds that are in place right now that, you know, just in the course of working on this project over the last, you know, few months, it's been really fascinating to see those that transform from, you know, kind of a dust bowl in the summer to now something that's full of life again, and it'll go through its cycles. So at the core of the site, what we're doing is we're trying to make use of that piece of infrastructure that's in place and giving ourselves a really nice trail loop to work its way around the ponds. Something that that folks who are, you know, I think that especially post-COVID and all that, folks have kind of developed this habit of wanting to go out for walks, and it could be something that's ADA accessible. It could be also, you know, it could have one surface that's great for walking and one that's a little bit softer for running and other kind of activities. But that's forming this loop at the core of the site. In the upper left-hand corner of the image, we're focusing on accommodating different kind of cycling uses. So we heard feedback on interest there being mountain and dirt bike trails that are put on offer. And in a way that that fragment of that triangle space to the western side of the property is really ideal because there's a little bit of topography there already to kind of play with. And it's also kind of isolated. And then there also was some expressed interest in a proper pump track, which has its own specific kind of needs where it's kind of essentially a figure eight where you're using your momentum and weight to guide the bike along the track. And so so we're working that into that very northwest corner of the site, in part because that feels like a relatively flat area that it would be a good match. Also, we see that as a, you know, great kind of activity that could be, you know, activating the space as people are coming in and it feels like it's alive. Working our way into the core of the space from left to right, we see this as a great spot for having a whole collection of courts. And that could be what we're showing right now is a mixture of pickleball courts. This would be a great place to really check that box in a thorough kind of way. And then also we've worked on projects and we heard feedback from staff about there being interest in having some multi-sport courts that where there's just flexibility. And so that can be the kind of thing where it's a court is sized like a tennis court, but it could be essentially subdivided for pickleball and then even have basketball hoops at the end for half court, kind of more pickup game kind of things. And so we're showing that in the where you see the label pickleball and basketball as a collection of a few of those that actually are covered, open air, but covered from the elements. We have parking really throughout the site, but all hanging off that northern road extension. So as you all are super familiar with this site, I'm sure, you know, Costco is just to the upper left from what we're looking at. So that existing little spur of a road would continue through and you know, what we've heard is that may well eventually work its way further east off site. And so that's a perfect point of entry for parking to enter in. And then we're working with the topography of the site to try to minimize disturbance. So rather than one massive rectangular parking lot you see here, it's, you know, pretty sizable in total. You're looking at over 300 parking spaces in what's being shown right now. But it's configured to spread itself across. In the upper right portion of the site, you're seeing their community center that we have a pretty healthy footprint in place right there right now. And the footprint is 25,000 square feet with the thought that it would maybe be two-story and so about 50,000 square feet. And that's in response to some of the kind of larger scale planning efforts and with this PTRO kind of plan, you know, what feels appropriate for a community of this size. But also specifically feedback from staff and others about making sure that there's, you know, maybe one or even two indoor basketball courts in place, that this could be a place with classrooms and a senior center and other kind of facilities. And this park, from our perspective, feels like a perfect place for that, really. Then we have playgrounds. Yeah.
You say senior center. I know the one they have now has got a full kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Does that have a kitchen in it too?
Yeah, the thought is we would basically take the same things that we have over there so there's no loss, but also make it better by having classrooms, the meeting spaces, and the two basketball courts that could be used for either, you know, senior activities or basketball games, those types of things.
So it's laid out as if it were going to be a two-story building. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Right.
I know the Pierce County Library over here has thought about getting a new one.
And that's what it's been a while. But
let's not get the county to buy in on it.
Right. Yeah, they had thought about it before the COVID had happened. And then I think after COVID, I don't know what they're. I mean, as we get kind of into the design, it would never hurt to reach out to the library district. I mean, I think at this point it might be a little too premature, but definitely keep it on the list of something. You know, as maybe as part of the narrative we put in there that we, you know, as when we move forward with the design, reaching out to the library, because you could even leave it at the same footprint and add a third story. I'd put a library on the third floor with elevators. I mean, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. 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 Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, folks from different corners of the community kind of crossing paths, literally, in a space like this. Yeah. No. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, something that we learned about in the process of developing these plans was that there ultimately is a limitation for how much of the existing tree canopy cover can be removed. And so what you see here very much fits within those limitations, but there's a little bit of wiggle room. And what I can imagine ultimately happening for this kind of site is that one way or another, that space is going to be maximized. You know, it's just a matter of exactly which particular pieces of program, as we call it, different elements get included in there, and then how we kind of link them up and have them build off each other. So so maybe just briefly, you know, we also, if there's an interest in a dog park, this could be another great spot for that. You know, easily accessible, parking available, you know, maybe eventually other future development nearby. And then some specific feedback we received is that there's real interest in having disc golf available somewhere. Like there's a clearing within that grub or within the slough, another kind of plant, understory plantings there in place there, almost like it's a soft path, but that's going to be for where, you know, that's essentially your fairway. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a great way of meeting that coverage requirement that we have, but also activating those spaces so they don't become overgrown or on what they say, eyes on the street.
Yeah.
By having the disc golf there, those areas of force that we're retaining, there'll be people actively walking and traversing those areas as part of that activity while still retaining kind of that forested feel of the park.
Okay, well then maybe let's move on. Oh, we might have a little section or two here, which we won't dwell on, but the next slide, Jason. So here, just give you a sense of scale. The drawing that's probably of greatest interest. Well, one, the image in the upper left is giving a sense of how, we could have this relatively modest kind of footprint of parking that will be extruded and still have a feeling of being, parking within the woods. But even more importantly, the playground spaces being surrounded by that forest canopy, we think can be a really special kind of a thing. We did get helpful feedback from staff, especially from the maintenance group, wanting to make sure that the existing trees and their needles are not, in direct proximity to the spray park and even to the pickleball. And so that's something that will be showing up in the next iteration of these plans where we're more intentionally kind of highlighting how there's probably a different character of new plantings in the immediate vicinity of some of these playground spaces. But the great thing is that it can be surrounded by that existing forest canopy. And then the image in the lower right, that's just giving a sense of how expansive, really, the spaces that we have to work with. Where if we have those pickleball courts to the right of that image and a sidewalk kind of servicing them, we have that main trail that even has the two different kind of surfaces that then transitions into the stormwater pond that during the summer, something we learned is that, the city had put forward plans of making sure that stormwater pond was accessible and safe and even usable to some extent during the dry summer months. Okay, let's go to the next one. And then here, this is a perspective rendering, just giving a sense of how these different pieces come together and how hopefully they can be building off of each other. All right. So two, of course, much smaller parks, but important in their own right, coming next. So with Victor Falls, Victor Falls, of course, is in a way like, really challenging to figure out how to make that accessible and safe, not only in being able to view the falls, but even just in getting to the parking lot. So what you see here is an initial pass at translating some of the feedback that we received, but this will definitely continue to be in motion for a little bit as we hear more and learn about potential limitations. So in this scheme, what you're seeing is that the upper right of the image there's the existing parking lot that's being paved, and then a little bit more of a sense of entry into the space, and then having a relatively small but valuable area of landscape improvements, a picnic area, that kind of thing, some benches, some turf, maybe a few other plantings. And then there's a main path that guides you through to a viewing deck, so that viewing deck can be built up kind of jutting out from the slope and offering the view out to the falls. It can be accessible obviously it can be safe and that can satisfy that interest and need. Then there's a pathway that's moving its way through the site at the moment, not entering into that third parcel on the west or left side of the image. But circling its way back and connecting up also with then Fennel Creek Trail. In our outreach efforts, we hopefully were not irresponsible in showing a suspension bridge, but we showed a suspension bridge, and people like a suspension bridge, for kind of supporting this kind of special activity of essentially something that I'm thinking of as more of a medium scale activity, right? If you want to be there for 10 minutes, you can just go to the view deck, see the falls, head out, maybe have lunch or something in the picnic area. But if you want to have a little bit more of a trail experience, and the suspension bridge and that surrounding trail can support it. We heard concerns from city staff about essentially the feasibility of something like that, especially it's a whole other new category of expertise in maintenance, let alone cost of a construction. And so we'll be open to feedback on what's desired to be shown in the next iteration of these plans and whether that's really just a trail of switchbacks and something that's a more modest kind of crossing. Let's go on, last but not least. Before we see the next one. So here, when there's dramatic topography, we can't help ourselves but draw some sections like this. And so this just kind of highlights the role of that viewing deck, of how it can bring people out to that edge that we know that there's, for better or for worse, such a strong interest in every year of folks getting out there and giving them that opportunity. Okay. Now, last but not least, so Cedar View Park. So Cedar View Park, of course, quite near to here. In the end, the feedback that we heard on Cedar View is that folks were really interested in essentially having the same core functionality maintained, but just improved. And part of that is about improvement of the actual facilities, you know, of upgrading the playgrounds equipment and that kind of thing, for example. Things like the existing basketball court can become one of these covered multi-sport courts, that it could be still a great place for kids after school to throw a basketball, and even if it's raining a bit outside, that kind of thing. You know, the existing large picnic shelter, go ahead and add a few smaller picnic shelters so there could be a larger number of users. And then upgrading of the restrooms, we know that there's a challenge with that because there's essentially no sewer service here right now. But setting a target for that to be something that can possibly happen. And related to all of that, yet again, a spray park. And that could be maybe a spray park that's more modestly scaled and sized compared to what would be happening at other parks. But even, you know, there's a lot of discussion on the team and with staff and with the public, again, and just want to really double check, like should we even include that as a target? Because we work on spray parks. We know that they're complicated and expensive. And it felt like this community, this neighborhood would make good use of it, and they deserve it as much as any other. And so so we're glad to include that in the targets. And, okay. Yeah.
I guess we're looking for the Planning Commission, like, we're going to be taking these next to the council next week for kind of same type of briefing. We're still going to have public hearings. You're still going to vote on it. It's still going to come back at least one more time, maybe two more times. But as we hone these designs down, based on what you're hearing from the community, based on who you're talking to, based on your life experiences, what do you think about any of the designs? Or I know, you know, Craig Commissioner Starwood talked about some concerns with the roadway. Are there anything, you know, concerns, other things you would like us to consider? Areas where you don't think we're, well, in the library, you know, I think that's a great idea too. I mean, are there any other of those types of, you know, things that you guys as the Planning Commission would like the consultants and us to hear as we kind of finalize these designs? You know?
Yeah, right. Okay, good. Yeah. I have personal experience with this. My small dog went after a horse earlier today. So, yeah.
But I think that would be just a primary focus, and then
yeah.
I know we already have one dog park, but all of them are together.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, good note.
There's a dog parks too. I noticed in some of the other cities where they have the dog parks, they have
They obviously have to carry bags to pick up the droppings and that kind of stuff. But they have what they call digesters.
Oh, yeah.
Installed so that they can actually get rid of the feces there rather than take it home or whatever else they're going to do. It's something you can look
at. I don't know. Do they have bags that...
They have the bag dispensers, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you take a plastic bag and you fill it up and you throw it in the...
Oh, yeah, the ones that I saw, the bags are biodegradable. Yeah. They're not really plastic. They're more like a... something like that.
Yeah.
That's what
we use for. Yeah.
Yeah. These are all closed after dark, is that right?
Yeah, they, at dusk, right now, dusk, is when our parks officially close. I know early on, Scott, didn't we talk, at least at Allen Dirk Park, about security cameras?
Yeah, the police chief was really keen on that, on security cameras and the like. And I think for here at Midtown, in particular, from our perspective, what we're seeing is just this range of activities. You know, having, you know, I spent a couple hours walking every corner of Midtown on a bright, sunny summer day, and still there are little pockets where I wasn't so sure. And so, really take that to heart. If in the end there was an interest in having some of these parks, maybe especially Midtown, be accessible at other times of the day, kind of when it's a little darker, lighting would go a long, long, long way. Yeah. Right. For sure. I mean, it'd be a perfect spot for it because, you know, and so, you know, I can really imagine that upper northern stretch being well lit, and then that loop that connects in to the pickleball and then connects over to the community center, kind of having that be a well lit trail could work really, really nicely.
One of the cities I looked at, they had what they called park walkers.
Mm.
Which were basically sitting, they may wear a vest and walk through the park, visible, with phones in case, you know, you have to call somebody. Whole other level of.
I think the other thought too. I'm trying to get back to that specific image. The other thought I think too was by having the community center there, which has the senior center, the rec people, possibly the library. You're kind of activating that space on a more
Do they still have cameras at the skate park?
Yeah, there are some cameras out there, and what was kind of discussed is as we build out the infrastructure, finding ways to expand that fiber backbone and cameras. I don't know how we display that in the plan, but there was a thought as, you know, as we put up vault lights or, you know, different structures, is there a way to do the cameraing system that has a live feedback to the police department? I think some other things that we've done out there that were in place this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how Allen York Park is next year. So one of the things that we did this year is we're putting up a whole bunch of areas of restricted parking, either no parking or only parking by the residents within a quarter mile of the park. So that's going to limit the amount of on-street parking. There's also the parking at the park is going to become paid parking. So it's not going to be the free option as compared to North Lake Taps, which is all paid for. That was part of the problem we're seeing kind of on a safety level is North Lake, the county park on the north side of the lake is all paid. And so people don't want to pay, so they come down here. And so we're trying to balance that out. And it's going to be interesting to see how that impacts those issues.
The thing we talked about, Jason, was...
The old blue lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Problems with fake hitting them, you know, for fun, but another thought.
The thing I was thinking is the more people use the parks, the better it's going to be. So I think improving the parks is going to do a lot for security, just because people are going to be there. And I think that's the, like, just all the parks in general, if we can get people there, they'll be mostly better behaved because more use for them. And people also, like, want to take care of them because it's something that they take pride in.
Well, a lot of the parks, it's the broken window theory.
Yeah.
If you let it get out of hand, you don't deal with this, the low-level stuff, then you start getting really bad.
Yeah.
And Scott, I'd like you to expand on it, because I know you kind of talked through us with it. You know, one of the ideas of moving the road was to expand that space.
Yeah.
To provide less friction points.
Yeah.
By providing a greater space for greater separations. Because now everybody's cramming onto this really small area. Yeah. And there becomes kind of those friction points. I don't know if you had any.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and you all have experienced it. I mean, with Elon York. And how, I'm not so familiar with the particular history of the fencing that went up and exactly how and when, but I can imagine it. So ultimately, you know, that shifting, that realignment of the roadway, as far as how it relates to the park, it's, you know, ultimately a safety thing. And having that space be that much safer and that much more accessible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Right. I mean, I frankly just learned that there's a bit of history on this of there being past attempts at improving that parking lot, and that didn't go through because the road is so unsafe. Mm-hmm. Not interested in having it be. Yeah. No, you know, we talked with folks at the open house who live, you know, just a few blocks away, and they talk about how difficult it is for them just to, what route would they take to get across? Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and I think I can kind of go to that slide. And I think the challenge is, yeah, there's some sight distance issues which kind of impacted, as Scott mentioned, some plans we had at one point. We're going to have to look at those sight distance issues. The weird challenge about this park specifically is that it's an island of the city. All we own is the park. The road itself is Pierce County. The guardrail is Pierce County. So all of those types of traffic calming, guardrail issues are all Pierce County. Yeah, so it's shown here. It's kind of that where that area is cleared out. But that's all inside the property. So the guardrail itself is in the right-of-way in Pierce County. The road is Pierce County. We have talked about, at one point, the thought was to bring the Fiddle Creek Trail through here. We're kind of rethinking that and basically bringing it through Victor Falls Elementary and crossing at Falling Water Drive, where it's a little bit safer, and then eyeing it that way. So yeah, as Scott mentioned, this one's tough.
Our county rep.
Yeah.
And add Fennel Creek Trail right away, too.
Yeah.
That's got to be in the county.
Yeah. In our conversations that we've been having with the county, I'm sorry, Scott, if you want to jump in, I apologize. We've been talking with them about the Fennel Creek Trail and the connection to the Foothills Trail, and more it's seeming like the concept that's emerging, nothing official, nothing approved, but looking at all the different options, one option that's getting added to the table is going through Sky Island, through the Tahale. They're building a whole new road system that will come off the backside of the hill that ties right in at 128th, right where there's a crossing to the Foothills Trail. And so right where the McCutcheon Grange is. And that new storage facility, if you drive up there, the road bends. If you, in the future, it will be a Y that will go up the backside that will connect into Tahale and Falling.
Right after the river? Or right after the...
Right after the bridge.
Yeah.
The bridge gets rebuilt, and it basically goes...
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And so there's some thought is if they're building that roadway with sidewalks and those types of facilities, does it make more sense to kind of use that corridor than trying to punch something through a critical area? So, yeah, I totally agree. Yes. So any other thoughts? I mean, that's why we have Scott here. So any questions or?
Oh, thanks. That's nice of you. You probably heard this three times.
It's great, and I love the new idea.
Okay, good.
Commissioner Huber and I got on Facebook on one of the local groups, and somebody had taken the open house posting and posted it like a week ago. Yeah, and everybody came, why didn't they tell us? Why did the city just release this? And it was an individual. I think he was trying to make trouble.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
And which led to, we need playing fields to the south. We need covered basketball courts.
They want indoor basketball. And so when I explained, I was like, hey, you know, like this was actually put out. And I personally shared it onto the community
pages
to make sure that people knew this was coming up and invite them to the
We
were at every music in the park all summer long.
Yeah, you all had a lot of outreach over the summer.
Yeah. And so I just sent the links, like, hey, here's the links to the city's pages.
Yeah.
See the entire
vision.
There is.
And you know, I would say from our side, it's an exciting challenge to kind of balance all of these demands. And certainly those recreational uses are really important for the community, certain aspects especially. That said, you know, it's notable that, you know, all those pie charts you saw, we weren't hearing over the summer at all of those events of there being this huge interest in having these particular spaces being converted over to more forcefully, more dramatically to sports fields and the like. So It feels like this is the direction that it's going in for these spaces, for this community, of very much supporting that in as efficient way as possible, and it adds to the life of the parks. But there's more to it than that.
Definitely, we've got to put the word out.
Yeah, and this particular.
That's great. Yeah.
And I think he emailed me. I don't remember his name, but I think I got an email last week about indoor basketball courts and volleyball. And so I responded back to him that the thought is that we would have a community center. And it was after our meeting with the rec staff. Mm-hmm. We also brought up the idea of indoor courts.
Yeah.
The plan is to do two indoor courts at the community center and then have a couple of outdoor courts that are covered. That can be extend the life into the
wetter season.
The wetter season, you know, in the middle of December, maybe not, but you know, in those late misty days, it would still kind of work. So,
he's feeling better about didn't respond in.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
In one
information out.
And one thing, if you do hear things about sports courts, we also have a plan where we are taking 20 acres of former water utility property and transferring that into the park system, which will be shown on the park plan. It's just not part of Scott's presentation because he's not been tasked with doing the design of that, where we are planning to add 3 to 5 new multi-course fields. So, yeah, so that's not part of Scott's task to do a design for that, but that area is being set aside and programmed for that additional capacity.
The idea of natural space and open space, because I feel like we need both. And especially with the more development that's going on in the city, like some of those trees are taken away, so it's nice to have some tree space and some open space.
Honestly, Midtown Park, that is that one like clean slate park that we have is bring it to be everything for. There's so much that inside there and that was things that we had
in the summertime. This is the park that everybody's going to want to go to because it's going to be cool.
Yeah,
where
that's
if
right.
If you go to
true.
Like Allen York Park, it's in the sun, you're going to get really hot unless you go to the lake. But like Midtown Park, you can stay relatively cool.
Midtown will be perfect because it's run all the shopping.
I think you'll get a lot of use.
You're going to see a lot of go to Chick-fil-A, go to the Crumble Cookie, go to Bubble Tea, and then go over to the park and goof off or ride bikes all day and then go have lunch at Haverford. I think.
You're right.
True.
Right. Right. Right.
Or saved.
Yeah, or maybe it's already there.
Maybe show a nice evergreen outside the back of the community center.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Like, it would be really neat to have that ability to always have it there and not.
I have kind of a question about Midtown Park. Is there any. Has there been any talks about putting access to the backside of Regal and Federal Way, Fred Meyer, onto that extension road?
Yes.
Okay.
So the road was designed in such a way that hopefully there's a kind of an alley for the Regal parking, or not an alley, but a kind of a stub out for the Regal parking lot to connect right in. And then further down where the 211th stoplight is.
Mm-hmm.
The future road plan, which was adopted years ago as part of the comp plan, you'll see it again as comp plan comes forward, actually requires that when the private developer go to the east gets developed, that they extend that frontage road all the way to 214th, mm-hmm. where there's a future signal, and also connect to 211th, so that eventually, if we, the city could ever acquire that stretch of 211th from the develop from the private owners, because it's private from the stoplight back, mm-hmm. that you would have another kind of entrance that way into the park.
Route.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point, because you know that whole edge. I mean, in a way, the way it's shown now, there's no special crossing or anything like that, but that whole street improvement, I think, would be very welcoming for anyone who's popping out from the northern side. And that, and then who knows if there is ever any kind of redevelopment happening on that north side, you know, maybe they bring a stronger crossing put in place.
And I think it's time to start wrapping it up. Mm-hmm. Anybody got any questions?
Good. Thank you.
And I would encourage the Planning Commission, you know, come to the council meeting. You know, the Planning Commission does can speak as individuals before the commission, the council, if you want them to kind of hear your thoughts, as they also can give the same presentation. If the Planning Commission is always invited.
All right. Thank you again.
Thank you, Scott.
Well, we go to the order. Respondents.
That's you.
Staff comments.
Just one, I want to remind everybody that we are going to have our second, we are going to do a two-meeting month this month, so November 15th, we'll have a meeting. I believe, Scott, we're going to be back with cost estimates. I think that's what was on the schedule. I could be wrong, but I believe that's on the schedule, and then also the 2023 code maintenance package. And then next year we'll be getting into the comp plan. Last comment. I'm hopeful that in January we will finally be moved over to our new building. I am simply waiting on a camera to be installed. And as soon as that happens, I know. And if I could control it, I would gladly do it. But I'm waiting on the camera to get purchased and installed. That's all we're waiting on.
When it happens, it happens.
It will happen.
Commissioner Colonel.
One more.
Sorry. Are any of you guys part of an HOA or like you live in an HOA community? Okay, so for the comp plan, we're doing like public outreach. In the public outreach, we're speaking to the HOAs, and we're kind of having a hard time gathering HOA board contacts. So if you could provide me with an email to your HOA board contact, that'd be awesome.
And when you're not going to reach out and have a meeting with the whole HOA?
Yeah.
So that we can do a bunch of them simultaneously and... We're just trying to reach out to any of those boards.
I know with Sky Island, we've got a link to send to everybody on the board.
Yeah, we got Sky Island. We talked to that one. We do have.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can just email you.
I will find Brooke Howard, and I can get it out for
you. Just make sure that it's just for the board. You have capacity for 300, you know, community members, but we're trying to use the board as a proxy to talk about neighborhood issues.
I don't believe so.
Any HOA board you know, any board members you know from different HOAs, contacts for HOAs, please email those to Kennedy.
Yep.
Because we've got dates set up in late November or December that we're trying to meet with those board members just to have a conversation about what is of concern to their communities.
Any other commissioner comments?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I just wanted to say good luck to Carrie and Jessica next week at the election. And I did want to say one other thing, too. The open house that we had, I really wished it would have been a special meeting rather than just a gathering like it was. We got the email from the city attorney, and it really... really shook me up, you know, that she said $500 fine if we're talking to anybody. And I always remember what Grant says, you know, talk individually or sequentially, you know, we're, and you know, somebody had mentioned to me, you know, something, I think a roundabout they weren't happy. And I mentioned it to Grant, I mentioned it to Jeff, and then I thought, holy cow, if I talk to one other person about it, I'm going to have to report myself. So I, you know, told Jeff, I think we need to get out of here, and we took off.
The root of the problem has always been the people get together out of the meeting, agree to a vote a certain way.
Yeah.
And then you get it, okay, we ready? Yeah, okay, we vote. Thanks, we're done. Mm-hmm. There's no discussion, there's no feedback.
It was actually the city clerk that sent that email. Of being an open meeting, but special meeting, but because of some changes in the Open Meetings Act, because following COVID, if we were to make it an open meeting, we would have had to record it, we'd have had to broadcast it.
I'd have to take notes.
And you would have had to take notes. So it's what, kind of what we were trying to accomplish by having people walk and mill around and look things. So we're constantly having to adjust as the state makes changes, and that's why the city clerk felt it was important for the commissioners to know that don't do this, because if you do it, it's on you to deal with those things, because you're operating in kind of a governmental capacity when you're sitting as a commissioner. For
one last comment, and it concerns the planners. I talked to Chris Teeter, who has a number of construction projects down on the end of town. And we're back to, is it the permitting process or the inspection process? And he had an awful lot to say about it. And he offered to come into some meeting. He had some words to say. But I heard nothing but praise for you guys. He's going, well, Jason Sullivan's is this, and Jason Sullivan's this. And we, okay. Is there a but? No, there's no but. They love you.
Flowers.
Yes, we have been working. It's not me. It's there's a team in public services that starts with Ryan Johnstone, who's the director. He's been the director of the public service department, I want to say now, maybe five. It has not been a long time. And one of the missions of that he instituted when he took over that was that we are partners. It takes practices, it takes regulations. I mean, things don't happen overnight, but he's installed through the whole team. And it's not just me, it's Kennedy, it's Meddy, it's Bill Kuzmanich, Kyle Roner, our code enforcement engineers. Team effort on those things. And everybody's kind of bought into this partnering with people. That's not to say we don't have difficult conversations. And there's not people who aren't mad at us because we are regulators, but we to do that. So it's not just me. I'm sometimes the face, but it's a whole team, and it starts with Ryan and his kind of direction to us on how we should be partnering.
Talked to Dr. Levine, and he was just opening up the Timber Ridge Hospital, and he was very praiseworthy about you guys. Go ahead.
Yes.
$10, whatever.
$10.
Okay.
Move to adjourn.
The November 15th, I'm already double booked. That one I have. Back. So I will not be the financial side.
We can put you on Zoom.
Be in the middle of a meeting.
And you'll be on Zoom?
Just listen. All right.
Motion to adjourn.
I moved.
Second.
Second. Moved and seconded.
Oh, it's all the above.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Wonderful meeting. Thank you all.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
And off the record, everybody, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Bonnie High School.